Welcome to the Homily Studio for Sunday, the 5th of July, which is the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Wherever you are listening, you are welcome. And we all gather, I'm aware, with our, just from people I've been with already this morning, in the midst of the ups and downs of life, as the church constitution tells us, in the midst of the joys and the hopes and the griefs and the anxieties, whether it be health or finances or relationship with children or parents, whatever the struggle is, that's what brings us together, that we might hear God speaking directly to us. Let's take a moment to pray, aware that we are every moment of every day and night in the presence of God, in the embrace of our loving God. And so we pray, aware that we're not trying to twist the arm of God to do what we want, but instead we are relaxing into the will of God for us. As we pray in the entrance antiphon, your merciful love, O Lord, we have received in the midst of your temple. Your praise, O God, like your name, reaches the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with saving justice. I love that, the ends of the earth, because really we are at the ends of the earth. When they wrote that, they could never have imagined the antipodes where we are. So who do we have in this conversation today?
Hello, Lily. My name is Guile Pulotu, and I am talking from Tamaki Makaurau. Again, it is a great privilege to be here and blessed to be part of this today. Malo.
Great, Kuile. Great to have you on board again. And Catherine, you've been here 1,000 times before.
Oh, that's a bit much. But yeah, I think this has been going for 4 years, hasn't it?
It's been going more than 4 years, yeah. You haven't been here every time, though, just many.
Kia ora, everyone. I'm from Lower Hutt, Te Awa Kairangi. And last weekend I shared in some presentations on the Mass, and I became very aware of these homily studio podcasts that have been going for a few years now, and how they can provide people with this heightened awareness of the readings for each Sunday. So it's good to be here to play a small part in that.
Wonderful, Catherine. Good to have you. And we also have Steve Bryan joining us for the first time. Now, Steve's connection's just fallen over and he's going to come back in. So we'll let him in. We'll probably let him in. If we're going really well, we mightn't let him in. But anyway, and when his connection is okay again, we'll let Steve in and we'll be able to hear from him. So who's going to start? What can we say about these scriptures for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time?
All about peace and justice and the wisdom of God and the invitation to hand over our burdens to Jesus. So for me, I'd just like to start with my thoughts on the first reading from Zechariah. It's a proclamation of peace, isn't it? It describes no more war. It celebrates the coming of a just Saviour. And so bringing that into the context of today, I immediately thought of Pope Leo, who is really a champion for peace in our world today. His recent encyclical, Magnificent Humanity, he reflects on how we can build a civilization of love. And he proposes five pathways towards our daily and public responsibilities. And one of those five pathways he calls building peace through justice. And he uses a quote from John Paul II. I'd never read it before. I think it's terrific. Here it is. There exists a very close relationship between the justice of the individual and the peace of everyone. There exists a very close relationship between the justice of the individual and the peace of everyone. So what does that look like for me? Treating others as I would like people to treat me, perhaps. So if we take the context of peace and conflict, perhaps spending time, as he suggests, on patient negotiation rather than arguing, rather than tension and being angry about situations, finding a way to meet, have a conversation, and negotiate in peaceful ways.
Give us one word to sum up that point of Pope Leo's. You said there were five and you mentioned one. Give us one word to help us to recall that one.
Peace through justice.
Peace through justice. Great. Kuile, your turn.
I would say from the reading of this Sunday, it's I see him as the humble king, like he's humble. Like in the book of Zechariah, it talks about your king shall come. And he's not a king who's going to come with dominance, with power as in the army, but he is going to come with peace to the nations. And to think of that, like we know of kings, you know, like I come from a tiny country, but who has a king? You know, like the respect, and we give him and his family everything, the way we dress, the way we talk, they're very different. But this king is one of us. You know, like the compassion that he has to come and be with us, not a military king or a materialistic king. So for me to think about the first reading already, it's like how you spoke about the entrance antiphon, like to the end of the earth, because I see myself very down south from a tiny island. And even here in Aotearoa, we're not as big as all the other countries, and we talk and we hear about war and everything that is happening. And I seem to think, well, I'm in this tiny country, I don't have anything. But to think of it that Christ is humble enough to be with me, to be with you, to be with all of us in where we are. He came, you know, like it says in the verse, see, your king shall come to you. You know, like knowing wherever you are, the struggle that you have to face, either at home or at school or at work, but he's willing to come. So the humbleness for him to come to you and I, that has struck me really well by reading the first reading.
It's a shift I'm not sure we fully appreciate. Like in the Old Testament, the movement was very much us going to meet a God we perceive to be distant and distant heavens, us by our prayers and good works trying to please and appease this distant God who lived in the heavens. But in Christ, God, the ultimate act of humility, God taking on earthly characteristics and limitations. And living among, well, we see the whole ministry of Jesus, God with us, among the weakest, the most vulnerable, the poorest, those who didn't have a voice. And it links beautifully into that Matthew Gospel reading. I bless you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for hiding these things from the learned and the clever, revealing them to mere children.
Children,
And I love that because it reminds me of, I'm not sure which theologian it was, one of the great theologians of the council, who was asked at the end of his life after writing volumes of theology, you know, can you give us a word? Can you sum it up? And he just thought for a moment and he said, Jesus loves me, this I know because the Bible tells me so. Like after writing libraries, there it goes. It's so simple. And Jesus' teaching was always. It was so simple that many of those who were most intelligent just didn't get it. Intelligent by worldly standards, like a real intelligence did understand what Jesus was saying and doing. Simple parables about grains of sand and, you know, people wandering along roads and so simple. So simple we miss it.
There's a word in both the first reading and the gospel that I found challenging, and that word is meek. I am meek and humble of heart. And yes, humble I get, but meek is much more like it sounds a bit wussy or weak, or to be meek in worldly terms is to be a bit of a doormat, really. So I had a look at what the word meek might mean, and there's a much more positive description that I came across for meek, which means exhibiting humble and gentle strength, which is just what you're talking about, Kwile and John, is that Christ described as he says in the gospel, I am meek and humble of heart. And meekness can be described as having power under control. And that's much more challenging for us because it's countercultural, isn't it? It's about when Jesus says, take up my yoke and learn from me, it means actually, be forgiving of your enemies, respond with non-violence when you are actually feeling very angry. So I just thought I'd just talk about meekness for a minute.
Great. Meekness. Great.
Yes.
Now, Steve has appeared back. We introduced you, Steve, a little bit. Is your audio and all that working?
I hope so. I'm very sorry about that.
No
Very much.
problem at all.
Yeah, I had to
Look,
close right down. Apologies.
we were debating whether or not we were going to let you in because it's going so well. And that
Well,
we want.
three, that's the Trinity, you see. It's the Trinity working.
Well, now it's Trinity Plus. Brian, can you just we'll just interrupt our very deep and profound conversations there between Catherine and Kuile, and just a word to introduce yourself there, Steve.
Kia ora koutou. So my name is Steve Bryan. I've been involved in Catholic education since I was five, I suppose. Been educated by the Presentation Sisters in Taita, and St. Bernard's Old Boy. And I've been in special character schools. I was a teacher at St. Bernard's College for a long time, and then a principal of Sacred Heart College in Napier, St. Catherine's College in Wellington, and a couple of small stints at St. Pat's Silverstream and Pompalia College in Whangarei.
And what about now? What are you doing now?
Now I have some contracts with the ministry. Sadly, I've been overseeing the closure of some Catholic schools. So last year, Cardinal McKeefry in Wilton, and this year, Pius X in Te Tahi Bay.
Isn't that interesting? Cardinal McKeefry, I even taught there. I was on a
Did
pastoral
you?
placement in Onslow years ago, and
That's right.
for a couple of hours each week, I would go down to Cardinal McKeefry, which I think was then intermediate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it was. That's
Yeah,
right.
look at that. Anyhow, look, Steve, because you've come in a little bit later, we've all said a lot of what we're going to say, and it's your turn. When you looked at these readings, what did you think? Sometimes people begin by saying, "Oh, they're hard readings," or "Wow, I really love these readings," or so what was your thought?
I thought they were very rich and significant readings, full of imagery. Great, to take these readings with students, year 13 students. I think they would be wonderful to talk about the symbolism, particularly would be they would associate with that, especially young people who are bombarded by symbols these days. The symbols in our readings for Sunday are very rich, and the some of those symbols from the Old Testament in Zechariah you could certainly apply today,
So,
through to the
Steve, put yourself in front of a Year 13 classroom again and give us one symbol that you think might speak to these Year 13 students.
I think the idea of being a debtor to the flesh. You could very much talk about the challenge for young people today, where they're bombarded with images of self and of self-image, sensory pleasure. And so, being a debtor to the flesh, I think they would resonate with that.
A
They would
detail.
understand, the pressure that's on them to conform and to sort of to follow the bandwagon.
This is a look, this is a perennial challenge for us. Like, how on earth do we communicate what we know to be the beautiful life-giving message of the Gospels and the presence of Jesus to young people who are in the midst of the environment that you described, Steve, that like there are just so many pressures. Like, how do we take a message like Jesus praising the little children, unless you become like little children? How do you communicate this to a world that's trying to be big and strong and mighty and powerful? It's just so countercultural. This goes back to your point, Kuile, earlier about, small country, at the antipodes, a long way, the ends of the earth, literally.
Yeah, and I also would like to say about how Catherine spoke about meekness, like at the from the Gospel, John, and I think it's a good thing for us if we're thinking of students, like thinking of year 13 or any students. This morning I went to a school, so what they do every Tuesday, they come together and open the Gospel reading for the Sunday, and this is a primary school, and it was just amazing to hear how they read the word, like they listen to podcasts, they listen to Bishop Steve when he does his homilies. But it's the hunger from people, like wanting to know that Christ is there. So I think what Catherine have spoke about, the meekness, like meekness in is humility expressed in action and trying to be gentle, like a gentle way of responding with the gospel, especially during conflict. That we are actually rooted in Christ, and I think that's what I take from the first reading and the entrance antiphon and the gospel and the responsorial psalm. Wherever we are, it takes us back to the classroom as a teacher, as a parent at home, as a priest with your congregation, to remember that we have to be humble like Jesus did. With everything we do, no matter how small. And I love to say my little country is small, which is it is, but we've got a heart. So every single one of us have a heart that is bigger than anything we can
Andy.
talk about.
It's interesting the way we're looking now for a moment at the end of the Romans reading. There's no necessity for us to obey our unspiritual selves, but to follow the spiritual. We tend to think, and this picks up on the points that each of us have made, that we think of ourselves as bodies, and certainly this is the thinking of a young person. We can our bodies are tangible, so we can see and touch and experience them. That's our bodies, but that we're trying that our faith communicates that we have a spiritual part. So it's like that our bodies have a spirit. But I heard someone years ago saying, "Are we bodies with souls, or are we souls with bodies?" So in fact, the primary part of each of us is, as you're saying there, with the heart. Each of us has a big heart, Kuile. Are we primarily spiritual beings who, for 80 or 90 years or so, are in physical bodies, as Paul would say in another place, trapped in physical bodies, like our real self is the spiritual. I don't know, does that make sense to younger people?
I think very much so. I think they would embrace the, that challenge to consider their identity and, where have I come from? Where am I going to? And how do I make the most of this journey that I'm on? And young people in our Catholic secondary schools, I think, are open to service particularly as well, which is a beautiful aspect of connecting with young people, that they want to have an outpouring of their talents and their gifts, and so that gospel reading about revealing yourself to others, just as Christ invites us to sort of connect with him. I think that they certainly.
Indeed. That's a powerful point that you make there, Steve. I think that the mistake we make often with our Catholic schools and colleges around the country is the emphasis is even, it's usually not subtle, but how do we get these people to church? This is a problem. But in fact, that's not a point we should be particularly concerned about, because if they were at church, that would be a sign that the church is being what the church is called to be, and these people are recognizing their desire. In fact, the thing that so much impresses me was in whenever there is a great need, maybe an earthquake in another place or some suffering or tragedy, even within the school community, that our students in Catholic schools are overwhelmingly excited about being engaged in this practical project of care for those in the most vulnerable and greatest need. Like in a school where such a project is going on for a few days or a week, it becomes the focus. It's like, sitting in a physics or science class or English is quite secondary to this primary. And I think that's an indication that these young people in our schools, certainly with their teachers, get it. They understand that the taking part in the liturgy on Sunday is not the starting point, it's the fruit of the relationship. And of course, young people are experiencing the relationship, the desire for connection. I know that all of us have worked in schools at times. I'm not sure if that rings true with your own experience.
Very much so. The students that I've been associated with never got more excited than when Mercy Day came around, for example, and the opportunity to create, to make, to share, to advantage somebody else. So I didn't see that when they were preparing for that physics assessment or
No,
the
that's right.
what have you. But that sense of outpouring to somebody else, to see somebody else slightly better off from perhaps what might be challenging circumstances for them.
I remember, I'm sorry I'm talking too much, but I'll say this quickly. I remember hearing Ignatius of Loyola quoted. He was asked, "What kind of men do you want to be the first Jesuits?" And he said, "Give me men of passion. I don't care what their passions are, how confused or disordered, but at least we need to begin with people who have a passion for life. That's the starting point." He didn't say, "Find me people who go to church every day and we'll work with it." No, give me people who are in touch with their heart's desire, their energy, their passion, which is exactly what you're saying, Steve, I think. And we recognize in our Catholic schools so much. Catherine, you're ready to go there. I can see it.
Well, I just think back to that second reading with Paul, that that's what he means with the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that is what you're describing when young people get so excited about demonstrating generosity and kindness and compassion and all those beautiful gifts of the Spirit, that it is part of them. That is their soul. That is their spirit. And perhaps they don't, perhaps not everybody recognizes that we are, yes, both body and soul, and that our flourishing depends on how well we integrate those two aspects of ourselves. And the Catholic schools, I think, do a terrific job of encouraging that integration between what we do with our bodies and how we actually live out the Christian message of love to others, the outpouring to those who need help. And back to that building peace through justice notion that I mentioned before, that the only way we can become peaceful in ourselves and build a peaceful world is to acknowledge the injustices and do something about it. So, not to take more than we need. Example.
It will be interesting. I haven't had the opportunity, but I would like to, sit with a group of 18-year-olds and listen to what their thoughts might be about the coming elections, and what parties are they resonating with in terms of making a difference for people who live on the fringes.
Well, I can't believe the time's gone so quickly, but what we usually do at this point is say, look, if you were speaking to a group of people this Sunday and wanted them to go home with one point from the scriptures, what one point would you want them to go home with? What would be your take-home reflection and co or comment in a sentence or two? Kuile, have you got something? What are you thinking? What would
I'm
you
just
want?
thinking of the responsorial psalm. I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. Like if you take that
Yeah.
home with you wherever you are, knowing that he's there with you. King and my God.
It's
Think
great.
of
I'm not sure if you've been on with John Kinder, who's often on the homily studio, but John always takes us to the psalm. Always. Like whatever we're, he thinks, the psalms too often. But that's true. I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. Catherine.
Well, I'm always referring to music, and because of my love of music, and so that beautiful hymn of St. Francis, "Make me a channel of your peace," comes to mind through all of these readings today. It's that let's work harder at living peacefully. Let's work harder at practicing justice at home. Try not to act like I'm an angry volcano sometimes, and try and be more of an attentive or caring bridge when we're confronted with situations that require a much more peaceful and humble and meek response. There's those words again. Make me a channel of your peace.
Right.
Beautiful. I love that hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. I would offer the thought that Jesus presents himself as one who uniquely reveals God to us and invites us to rest and find peace and comfort in his love and trust in that love to give me a serenity for the challenges that lie ahead of me.
Oh, that's great. And look, I can follow on that by taking us to the opening words of Matthew 11, because without a doubt, everyone who hears this gospel this weekend will need to hear. I'm sorry, did I say opening? I meant the closing verse. Come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. All you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest. Wow. My yoke is easy and my burden light. So wherever you are listening to this homily studio today, perhaps there are words with all that we've said to take away. You know, God is with us, present. Meek is the word that keeps coming up. Humble, hidden, saying, come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. And so we turn to our loving God, Jesus Christ, God with us, in us and through us, with all of our needs, as we pray in the collect, the opening prayer for this Sunday. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.